Okay. All right. No. All right. So let's go ahead. Hello. My name's Dave.
I'm Horace.
I'm Chase. Sorry.
No.
I didn't know how it worked. Sorry. Screw the formatting.
Sorry.
Chase just fucked
sorry,
up.
Audience. You just got told. No. So, okay. First of all, I'm Dave.
I'm Horace.
This is Nice Soft T-shirt. And today for our audience, we have a new audience member.
Am I technically an audience member if
I'm sitting
in the...
Okay. Yeah, you're an audience
member. Chase. Right? My name is Chase.
Yeah. And then also Chase brought a special guest.
I brought my hope-to-be-soon-adopted dog logo.
Oh, wow.
Should find out tomorrow if we get him. And and I guess the next day he's actually going to have his himself neutered. I think he's come to terms with it at this
listen,
point.
No.
Yeah. Your balls but, apparently that's a New York state law. If you get a rescue dog, they have to
stupid
have to
balls.
Guy, so.
Balls always fuck
that's
everything.
That's what we
up,
had to do with David when we adopted him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you wouldn't behave
we
in
don't
the
want,
office.
We don't want any more Davids running
that's
around.
That's why I talk like this.
Too much aggression.
Oh, my goodness.
Right.
So, of course, we have the cow here. Right, the cow?
HR, yeah. She's just guarding her stick.
She does not give a fuck today. As always, we always start a timer, a 20-minute timer. So that way we know when 20 minutes is up, we're going to talk an hour extra afterwards, and then I'm going to have to cut this.
So 20 minutes means that's when we start the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That's when things get real.
Yeah.
That's real talk time. I can see that.
All right, ready? And hitting start. There you go. All right.
Space, time, continuum.
Is there also a beer count or anything? Is it?
No. All right. So what we're going to do is... we're going to have one subject to talk about, just like the last one.
I hope that now I'm all worried about what's this topic going to be. What if I don't have anything? Like, what if I don't
know? I'm scared.
Anything?
I don't even know what the topic is. David's been, he's
it could be Pluto.
Back.
It could be Pluto. That's a big topic for today.
What's going on with Pluto? What's all this Pluto business?
They did a flyby of Pluto. Yeah. This ship out there.
It should just be a planet, and then it should be done.
It's got ice caps on it. And apparently the ice is thicker around the equator. Ponder that for a second.
Well, first of all, isn't it like 2 million miles away from the fucking sun?
Yeah, it took them 9 years to flying?
I don't think
cruising
it's
through space. I mean, you have to fly to get out of the atmosphere.
You're floating. You're like floating.
Yeah, I guess to float there. You can propel yourself.
Okay, Horse, I want you to do something real quick. I want you to hear his voice through these headphones. And
I don't
want to
hear anything.
Just know like how professional this guy is. Come here.
Oh, do I sound good?
Put it on.
He's getting turned on over here.
You gotta listen to this guy. He's pretty good.
Look at that radio voice, right?
Do I have a radio voice? Oh, that end part wasn't.
Oh, Horse is masturbating now.
Oh,
Horse is masturbating.
And he's done. Okay.
And I'm done. Hey, dude.
That's how you know a good voice.
You were that sexy.
Yeah, right? If I can.
Sorry. I was like, oh my. Mm-hmm. All right, so what is
I had a radio show brief. I worked on a radio show in college for a little bit.
Oh, like the college radio station?
College radio, you know. And it was the Mike and Nick show with Nick and Mike. I wasn't Mike or Nick, but I was like an apprentice on the show, right? So I wasn't like the star of the show, so it wasn't my show.
Did you have to wear a wizard costume?
You did like the sound effects.
No,
like,
wizard costumes
no
necessary.
Costume.
I pretty much was able to wear, you know, my normal clothing. I would have liked if
that's
I got to wear
weird,
a wizard
though.
Costume.
I'd rather you wear like a wizard costume, but you're like naked under, and it just kind of opens up by accident. Like, with
but wait,
fan.
You're on the radio. Who's going to be seeing this?
I will.
That's what he's been imagining, and that's what makes it so magical.
Okay, so first
that matters.
Chase,
nothing important here.
Chase, just talk to us about this beautiful dog you brought in to our.
Oh, so this is Logo. His well, formerly known as Logan. We decided to shorten his name
to
Logo.
We'll take pictures later.
But our downstairs neighbor has an adopted dog or a rescue dog that they got, and now they foster dogs. So they're big animal lovers, so they foster dogs all the time. And sometimes we dog sit for them.
You
we
can
have
dance
some
too.
Other friends. We like to be dog uncles and aunts. We never really. Necessarily want
have you ever had a dog before? Like growing up?
When I was
a
kid, yeah. I've always had like, old English sheepdog, like big fuzzy ones.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they had this dog and we like kind of started hanging out with him a little bit and he's pretty awesome. Me and my wife love him. So we're like, let's put it in the application. Let's do this.
so our one subject we wanted to talk about.
What's our subject?
So I just wanted to say that I've actually known Chase for about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Like that.
So when I first moved to New York, I started at this place called Spontaneous. And
you're a senior designer, I believe.
I was. Mm-hmm. I came in as senior designer. I fucking lied my way into a senior,
I was
senior
say,
designer
I
position.
This.
Okay, let me
I
tell
mean, how
this
does
story.
Anybody get a senior designer position? Right?
That's
I mean,
true.
You actually come up the ranks and you're like, oh, now I'm a senior designer. I just don't move across.
You don't just move from Texas across, and be like, yeah, I'm
across the country.
I'm a Francis Honor.
Hey, I did the same thing. I'm like, hey, I'm an editor. Yeah, Media 100.
No problem. And you get in there like,
I'm hitting the keys, but nothing's happening. I remember. It's a computer.
Okay. I mean, I flew up here to work on, what is it, hotels.com? Remember hotels.com?
Yeah, yeah, the hotels.com.
It was a pitch for hotels.com. And so when I came up and they saw my reel. So I had, at the time I had a reel of 5 different spots with like After Effects and some live action, yada, yada, yada. The problem was I only knew After Effects enough to do those 5 spots. I had no idea how to use After
those
Effects.
Those are literally the only 5 jobs I've ever done. There are no like throwaway tutorials that I never show anyone. This is it. This is the 5 spots, which is pretty impressive, I have to say. I'm pretty sure I probably looked at your reel at some point back then.
It looked really good. I worked really hard to do that. And somehow,
what did you do before that?
I wish we could see your reel now.
Nothing. You didn't do anything.
I just came out of school.
And you were just like, I'm just going to start. Would you go to school for animation or what?
No, you were in Dallas for a little while.
I went for film and video production for school.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did, except minus the film part, which is even sadder. Video production. It was like, I don't even know anything about film. I took 1 film editing class.
Oh, yep. God. No, dude, when I graduated, there was no motion graphics. Nothing.
Yeah.
It was video compositing.
Yeah.
Like, motion graphics. They're like, wait, you're just doing After Effects? I'm like, yes. They're like, teachers would just laugh at me. They're like, whatever, do whatever you want. I'm like, this is what I want to do. They just laugh because they didn't think it was like actually a career path.
Oh, wow. Bam. Well, what happened was the reason why I
think that.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfuckers.
You got a podcast now.
Yeah, I got a podcast. And I got a dog named Logo here, motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
Logo.
See, you know, people are going to think you named your dog Logo because you work in the commercial business.
Yeah,
that has
it kind
of
makes sense a little bit. Yeah. Me and my wife are both kind of doing design animation stuff. You know, that's right. Kind of why I think it's appropriate.
Just a bit, right?
Hey. Yeah. Like, I might actually name a dog Logo. I think it's a cute name for a dog, even if I wasn't doing it just out of convenience.
Oh, cutie. Look how cute
she
is.
She doesn't say, like, Logo. She's like...
That was a dog.
Wow, all right. Yes, bitch.
Oh no, what I ended up doing was I used to work on that show, Jimmy Neutron?
Jimmy Neutron.
Yeah, so I graduated college with live action reel, and then I got hired on Jimmy Neutron to do animation stuff, what's it called, layout? Layout design?
I was gone.
It's like, camera work, but for a TV show for Jimmy Neutron.
Okay.
And that's when I started really getting into.
So it was like animatic type stuff? Or?
Yeah, like animatic type
stuff. Because that was all 3D, wasn't it?
3D.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, you were doing it in 3D? Or?
Yeah, I had to do it in 3D. They had to teach it to me there.
Oh. So, like, hey, you know how to use a real camera. Let's teach you how to use a fake camera.
But David probably came in going, oh, I know all this.
Yeah. No, I was like, why am I here?
I don't know, Photoshop?
I was trying to get an assistant editor's position, to tell you the truth. And then they hired me to do, like, layout.
All right, no. Back to what? Okay,
was I talking about something?
The whole
when you came out to spontaneous.
Oh yeah,
when you came out of the closet, remember?
Oh, I remember that. That was a good day.
You came out spontaneously,
and I combusted.
Oh.
No.
All right, so
it used to be called spontaneous combustion. Actually.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What a terrible name, right?
Even spontaneous is a terrible name.
Anyway,
I don't mind spontaneous too much.
I don't know.
So,
but it does kind of make it sound like you like a company that wings it, which is actually pretty appropriate for you to have.
Came in, they're like, oh, dude, this guy's perfect.
Yeah, I just spontaneously made up that I knew what I was doing.
He has no clue what he's doing. Done. All right, back to our podcast.
Okay, so back to the story I was talking about when I worked at DNA Productions. I quit DNA Productions. I went to work at an office by myself at my friend's offices. And then I was like, I'm going to start looking for freelance work in New York because I want to fly to New York.
In case you're just tuning in.
Yeah.
I know. I kind of like lost myself. I'm like, start jerking off.
So I got an email. They're like, hey, so you want to come up here and work at a place called Spontaneous? I'm like, yeah, I'll fly up here because at that time flights were only like $100.
No.
They were really cheap back then. I don't know about the Texas, but even to Ohio was like $100 something.
It was $100 to fly here and fly back, or even $200 counting whenever you get that special. But anyway, so I came to pitch on the hotels.com.
Yes,
spots.
I remember that. I remember those. They're great.
Still
good.
They came out good. Yeah. Especially for its time.
I think. Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking, especially like looking back now, you're like, wow, it's an SD.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's because that's what we did back then. Like an HD spot was like, whoa, wait, we got an HD spot coming
how
in.
How long it would take? You're like, oh my god, these take for
oh my god, the renders
hours,
dude. During at that time, from SD to HD, HD was like five yeah, times but I still longer. Remember going, to do.
I was like, wait. Six so are we doing HD or SD? And they would say SD. I'm like, thank god. That's
all right.
Well then,
we were finishing some.
You were saying hotels.com job.
Hotels.com.
Hotels.com.
Somehow or another, I stayed up till like 4 to 5 in the morning every night and worked on trying to come up with an idea because I had no idea what I was doing. And I finally came up with something and we sent it off to hotels.com. And then they liked it a lot and then Spontaneous got the job.
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, Dave, do you want to come up and actually do the job? And I was like, oh, God.
And can I do that again? Like, I'm still recovering from that last one when I, like, wrote a check that I wasn't sure I could cash.
Yeah. And I was like...
You were working
there? I was working there. And at the time, you know...
It was a couple weeks, right?
Like, it was a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And what happened was, like, well, the internet at the time didn't have, like, anything like we have now where we could actually do research and see what's cool outside, blah, blah, blah. I had to, like, actually come up with it myself, which... I'm not that type of artist.
So you mean you actually had to work at it?
Yeah. I actually had to work.
You know, it's funny that like for kids coming out of school now, it's like they don't know any other time. But like when I was coming out of school, MoGraph wasn't that big of a thing. Like,
oh, dude, we didn't.
I remember seeing like MK12's reel and being like blown away. Like, but what is this even? You know, and that was like
MK is another studio. By the way,
you're like, but you're like coming out of school, you're like, oh my god, this is the most amazing fucking. No, even PSYOP, seeing PSYOP, like coming out of school,
still PSYOP. Even the old spots from PSYOP still look really good.
No, just like it's like, wow, like there's no way I can ever be this amazing. Like, how the fuck?
And well, you know, those kind of getting someone has a quote that's like the first step in not idolizing someone anymore is like meeting them or something or whatever. Basically saying like, when you look up to someone so much and you meet them, you realize they're just normal just human normal person hacking through life just like you are. You know what I mean? Like when I moved to New York, I was like, oh man, because I used After Effects for a bit, you know, and I came out here and I was expecting everyone just to like run circles around me. Like, and then I was like, oh, everyone's
you're actually
just like
dominating
me.
Someone. Yeah,
totally cool.
Like, wait a minute. Like what?
Yeah, well, how this happened.
One thing I figured out too moving up here was like, you think you're coming to the ocean, but it's really just a pond.
Just another pond, yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Every pond's just a different pond. It's just, you know, a little bit bigger than
different
the last pond.
Bathtub, toilet.
Yeah, it's actually just that you were coming from a toilet.
Yeah.
And then there's David's ball sack. You just have to
avoid
it.
God. So, during that process of hotels.com, Juan and remember Brian Mitchell, who was the executive producer, they took me into a room, and they both go, we would like to hire you, and I'm like, okay, but what would I do here? And then they literally said, you will be one of our senior designers. I'm like,
and you're like,
what?
Yes, okay.
And then I'm like, well, I mean, do I get a space or something? Like, oh yeah, here's your office. And they gave me an office all to myself, and I was like, what?
Yeah
so they hired me as their senior designer. At that time there was no such thing as an art director. There was like,
well, was I in the machine room at the time, or was I
you're
I
in
I
the machine
office.
Room
I was in the machine room
you
still?
Were in the
machine. Okay.
yeah you're just starting, I think.
Yeah, you had yeah,
yeah. So I got hired, I got my office, and I literally was like, John Leamy was, you know, the one of the head designers or whatever.
It's like, what do I
and
do?
I would be like, I literally would come up to John Leamy and go, John, so if I need to copy something from one layer and I need to paste it to another layer, how would I do that? I literally asked a question just like that, and John would look at me like, wait, you are a senior designer, aren't you?
No, dude, I still remember when David would text me. He's like, hey, so there's something
like
in After Effects.
Basic stuff.
And then he's like, what does this mean? And I'm like, oh, just do this. He's like, oh. I'm like, yeah, don't you like,
you know, hit play?
Like, wait, this is like, we learned this After Effects 101.
You press the zero key to like RAM preview.
But it'd be funny because
I knew that.
Yeah. And I'm like, you're a new. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, and I'm
it's
like,
because I remember at some point there was a project I picked up of yours, and I was like, why the fuck? It was like a solid color, like a solid, right?
Oh,
it was just whatever color, like make a new solid, make it black, whatever.
Yeah,
and then he applied like the fill effect to it to like change to a different color. And I'm like, why would he just change the solid
he
color?
He still does this. He still does this. I'll get some of his projects and I'm like, wait, why the fuck is the fill? Because I'll change the solid. And I'm like, wait, why isn't it changing? I'm like, what the? Like, I'm doing something wrong. And I'm like, wait, there's a fill? Like, who the fuck uses fill nowadays?
No, I don't use fill. I use tint. Tint.
Or tint. Tint's even worse.
But it's like,
there's two colors you got to change.
It's like, wait, Yeah. Okay, no,
let me give you my reasoning for this. Okay. It's because when I'm working fast to create like a character or something, like I just duplicate the solids, all the solids, like a lot of different solids, mm-hmm. and then I use my shapes and then I color them afterwards. But now I actually do, you know, my command shift Y.
Command shift Y.
Yeah. Yeah. In order to change the color, but I still do that.
I've got a couple of them. Like, the fuck? I'm like, let me change the fucking solid.
Command K? Why did I say Command K?
Because it used to be Command K.
That's how you. Command K is for settings.
It used to be Command K. Command K is a comp settings. Yes, that's right. This is the background color of the comp.
But it used to be in Command K, but now you have to.
That's right.
It changed three years ago. Oh, sorry. It changed like 3 years ago. Fucking David. Yeah. Stop hitting me, you asshole.
So my friend Mike was telling, or was it Mike or was it? Oh, no, it was Adrian. My friend Adrian, who also worked at Spontaneous.
Adrian Winter.
I was talking to him
let's
recently.
Okay. So let's get to the point where actually me. All right,
so back
Chase.
To dildos. Okay. So,
yeah. Okay. There's a certain point where you got to lop off the tangents, right? Because if we went on
a
tangent.
I leave a lot of them in there.
No, I meant like lop off in our actual conversation, not in your edit.
Okay, so let's go ahead. Okay, so. I started at Spontaneous, and this is where I meet Chase. Chase used to work in the control room, right?
Yeah, in the machine room, yeah.
The machine room. And can you explain what the machine room is?
So the machine room is in like a studio. There's a lot of tape output, especially.
Not anymore.
You have server rooms now.
It's more of a server room now, yeah. But back in the day, that long ago, but like,
8 years ago.
And they might still have one there. I don't know. I don't know how their system works now.
I don't know.
Because beta decks.
Well, in PSYOP, we have to have that.
Yeah, you still have a machine room, but so it's basically a server room.
Yeah.
With a couple decks.
With a couple tape decks.
Okay, Horace, please. Just get next to the fucking mic.
Why don't you put the mic closer?
I know. Okay. It's like, I'm over here, but he keeps pulling it hit towards him.
No. All right, Chase. This is podcast number 6.
6? Okay. Okay. You guys are getting better.
No. Every fucking podcast is me yelling at him either to get close to the microphone or get the fuck away from the microphone.
It's because, you know what? Give me a microphone that I can stay. Like, this is my third, fourth.
Last time he was on this one, and it was just like...
He was just like this the whole time.
But I sounded great. He was like, even he's like, you sound too good. I'm like,
you sound too good. You sound really sick.
All right. So back to your...
So
I worked in the machine room. The machine room is where they put a lot of, like, tape decks. You know, they need to output... let's say you're finishing a spot... for hotels.com, mm-hmm. then you need to send it to the TV station so that they can run it in commercial breaks. So you need to put it on a special particular tape to send out to them. And you have to have it like formatted. It has like, you know, a minute of color bars and all this crap. You know,
what
it's
kind
like,
of tape is this? Just like a regular VHS tape or what?
No, they have fancy tapes. It's funny you're saying that. It's like a lobby. You know, it's not a VHS tape.
I know,
like,
for the audience for people, out there, they don't know.
Yeah,
they think so it's like VHS.
Yeah, so there was different types of tapes, and I, you know, again, I'm not really up on this kind of thing anymore. But back in the day when I was there, anyway, it was like Digibeta.
Yeah.
We never had a D5 deck, but that was kind of the next thing that was coming. We had a D1 that we did all our archiving on, which was like, these tapes are massive.
Oh,
they're
the
like
big
the size
archive
of,
tapes.
Now,
yeah.
Can we explain? Okay, the reason why there's a difference between... Well, there's the reason why we have these type of tapes is because at that time, you would have to send a tape to the network that's actually going to play on television.
So they could air.
So they're different.
I mean, they could be the same. It's just a different format. Yeah.
I thought they were more magnetic tape. Like, I thought the cartridges were fucking expensive.
But before, you're thinking of like DIT and AIT tapes.
Oh,
those
maybe,
are data.
Maybe.
And just
before
you could fill a hard drive full of commercials and just hit play. Back then, they actually have to put tapes in and play. Is that your dog?
That was Jeer.
Oh, that
him.
Was a squeak.
I just called you her, sorry. Yeah. I was petting him like kind of on his chest, and he was making a nice little cute.
Well, when I picked him
squeaky,
up, he was like
noise.
Snoring. Like,
yeah.
Like holding
he
him
does
up
a lot of
up.
Snorting and whatnot. I think it's a Brussels Griffon thing. It's like.
But yeah, at the time with tape, you know, that's what they used to play. Anyway, so
back to Spawn.
So yeah, so I would do tape dubs. I would do archiving at night. Like they had Flames, which are like high-end visual effects compositing workstations.
And so when I started there, Chase was basically like if they needed – Chase was learning After Effects.
I knew After Effects.
Yeah, you knew After Effects.
So you knew After Effects more than David.
I probably – I definitely knew more than David.
You could have been a designer, but you didn't know. You're like, whatever this guy says, I'll do.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'd go that far. I wouldn't suck his dick.
Well, but he's
for
like,
that reason. For another reason, maybe. No.
He told me a different story. Okay.
Not what I heard.
Yeah, I know.
But
what do you think you're here?
No, I mean, I definitely did. Like, I went there to rewind a couple years back. I think I had been there maybe 6 months or
yeah,
something.
It was like it was like right a little bit before I came in. Yeah.
So I had gotten out of school. I went to school in Ohio at Ohio University. And I moved out to New York right when I got out of school. Had nothing lined up. Had like $1,000 to my name. My roommate at the time, this guy Matt, who worked at Maxim magazine when we moved out here.
Oh, that's here in the city?
Yeah.
Where?
Oh, I didn't know.
It's right near... it's on 42nd, like kind of by Bryant Park.
So you guys got a lot of free Maxim magazines?
Yeah, I guess we could have had free Maxim. I'm not a magazine guy, but he got a lot of weird stuff that he'd bring home because kinds of companies would send shit into Maxim. Like, put this in your magazine, and he would just like bring it home. And most of it he would just sell on eBay, which is pretty hilarious.
Yep. That's what everyone at Wedding Kennedy, that's what everyone does. They get free swag.
And then they just sell it on eBay.
Like, I'm like, dude, what, $400 for those shoes?
Yeah, I want the swag. I want the $400
shoes.
Give
it to me, motherfucker.
So anyway, we moved out here. I don't even know where I was going with this story. Something about spontaneous. Oh, yeah. His mom, or his aunt had a small production company. Oh, sorry, cow.
Wait, who? Oh, wait. So when you moved
out
here,
my
your roommate.
All right. His aunt had a small production company here in the city called N9.
Yeah.
Great people. I went and met with them.
N9.
And I ended up working with them.
Are they still around?
Wait, did you know After Effects at the time?
I
want to
say I know the N9. Yeah.
Didn't we just talk about that last time?
No, not N9, but
they do a lot of like fashion behind the scenes.
I've been
stuff
hit up by them. I just remember their logo. Really? Like, yeah.
Just an ad.
Oh, I do remember this. I do know this.
I remember that seeing their work, and I was like, it's not motion graphic-y
at all
for me.
Yeah, not
so
at all.
So I was like, no, it's too, yeah.
They do like filmic kind of fashion-y behind the scenes.
I mean, it's
like,
nice, simple stuff, but I was like, nope. Sorry.
And they're super nice people. Like, they were awesome. So they were like, when I moved to New York, they were so nice, so helpful. Like, I basically ended up working for them because I was an all around, like, I went to school for video production. Taught myself After Effects.
Mm-hmm.
I knew Encore, so I like did DVD. You know, this is back when people sent out DVDs.
DVD Pro.
I didn't do DVD Studio Pro. I started learning it a little bit.
That's what I knew. Like, no, okay, ready?
Isn't it Studio DVD Pro or is it
DVD Studio
Pro?
Pro.
Right, we had to make a whole PowerPoint presentation, but with DVD Studio Pro.
Oh wow, that's
so
fun.
I had to learn basically
how
to
like
make
link
this
everything.
Yep. It took me about a month, but I got it to work.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. Dude,
it
DVDs
was
so obnoxious. Sending out DVDs to clients. Oh, that was awful.
People loved it. They're like, oh, this is on DVD. I'm like, no, that doesn't make you better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that we can just put it on the internet now.
Yeah, so much easier. And instantly, too. You don't have to deal with, like, burning it, checking it to make sure it plays.
So back then, like, we used to always have to put things on DVD and send it to clients.
No,
but the
burn
good
DVDs.
Yeah, burn DVDs. But the best thing about burning DVDs, which is actually the worst thing about burning – not actually – completely separate things, but we would charge almost $200 per DVD to send
at spontaneous.
At spontaneous.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing that on the thing. I didn't see that most of the time. Then once in a while I saw it, I was like, what?
Yeah,
because I was the one burning those freaking things, like in the back.
And like, you're like, oh, you ruin one. You're like, oh, whatever. Let me burn.
Yeah, they're
one.
Nothing.
But
they
to
cost
them,
nothing
it's like,
to make.
This is $600. You wanted three? Done.
Yeah.
So I mean, the best thing about it is you could charge a lot, but the worst thing about it actually takes like 6 hours to burn a goddamn DVD because it's always something wrong with it.
Not back then for a 30-second spot.
Oh,
it wasn't
that.
Yeah,
was
but we'd make menus.
Yeah, no,
dude.
That's the thing. It would take all day. And sometimes you had to compress. I remember we in Portland.
Compress every single
one. We had
a
compressor. So we had to run it through a compressor, get it compressed, run it back to DVD Pro.
Well, because it has to be in the right spec. If it's not in the right spec, it won't play.
Oh, dude, it was horrible. Oh, no.
Yeah, it was awful.
The audio was off.
The amount of work. I mean, we take that for granted now. You just post something to the internet. You're like, oh, yeah, just throw
it
in my Dropbox and send a link.
Vimeo.
Yeah, or Vimeo, private link, like whatever.
But now, dude,
back then, it was like making a DVD, printing a label to stick on it. Like,
your reel? Your entire reel? I mean, it would be an ordeal, and you're like, dude, look how beautiful this. Look how amazing this reel is. This DVD.
Right. Oh, look at the label on the DVD. Wow, it's like designed.
What were
fancy.
We talking about?
Spont.
So how I got to spontaneous. So I was working at that company, and there was like a email list for like recent grads that went out from my school. And one day I saw it, and it was like, oh, you know, I liked working at N9. It was great. I got to do a lot of different stuff. Like I got to shoot, I got to edit, I got to do the DVDs.
Yeah.
Awesome. got to do some After Effects, like title design and stuff like that. But it was small, and I kind of wanted to get more into something that was like more focused on animation, visual effects, you know, that kind of thing. So there was this email listing from my school that went out and had things in it, right? And I would look at it, but I was pretty happy with my job. Then I saw on it one day, it's like, oh, spontaneous visual effects design company in New York City is looking for a receptionist or reception person, right? Whatever. Reception,
yeah, a little fancy girl to come up named Chase.
And I didn't think of it. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? I don't want to do that kind of show. And then all these people from my school start emailing me about it. Like three or four different ones. We're like, hey, did you see this? And eventually I was like, you know what? I'll take that as a sign.
Like,
I'll go check it out.
Yeah.
So I went in one night, actually purposely procrastinating, being like, oh, they won't be there. It's like 8 o'clock at night. This is before I was in the industry, obviously, where I naively thought some companies might not.
Everybody's there. Yep. Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll stop by and just see. And I stop by. Sure enough, they're there. And Kate.
Oh, Kate
Phillips.
Okay,
now Kate Burscano. Yeah. I walk in the door with my resume, which was actually formatted like an MS-DOS prompt.
Nice.
What?
Awesome.
Really?
Yeah, it was I'll send it to you. It's
like,
I mean,
that's
it was
kind
silly.
Of an amazing nerdy perfection right there.
Mm-hmm. Like where it said, like, you know, it'd be like listing, you know, it's kind of hierarchical, yeah. Right? Your resume, mm-hmm. And it's like job experience, and it would say like DIR/P. It's like directory listing. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
It was like,
yeah.
It only could have been nerdier if it was like Unix or something. That might have been better. But anyway, I came in and I was like, hey, first of all, I was like, oh shit, there's someone here. And it was Kate, who was like totally tipsy on wine, as is Case's MO.
Kate's
MO. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was there and she's like, oh, we don't have that position open right now, but there's some other ones we might have. And why don't you take a seat? And then I was like chatting with her and like we got along really well right off the bat. And
she's
like, you know,
super cool though. I liked her a lot.
Yeah, she's great. And she was
like,
oh, I'm gonna still do like her.
Yeah, I still do.
And then she was like, you know, let me go talk to someone and see what I can do. So she like talks to Tom Falk, who is the machine room.
Tom Falk.
He's like old school,
wow,
like
what?
Dude that runs the machine room. Runs the machine room.
It's he's like 60 something years old. I could see the old guy in the machine room.
Yeah.
He takes it serious. Like,
oh yeah.
This is life.
I a lot of funny stories about him because he was hilarious, but he was awesome because he didn't get along.
We're gonna
with a lot
just have to bring you back for just stories of Tom Falk. That's it.
Yeah, we could do that. I could probably bring in other people. We could do Tom Falk stories.
Damn.
Oh my god, that would be kind of amazing. Gay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Adrian Ortenberg, Elkins.
Fucking Jason, man, I miss Jason.
So she ends up like basically scoring me an interview like right there with Tom Falk. So I go in and I interview with Tom Falk.
That's awesome.
He's like, so we have this machine room assistant position open. So basically, I go in there and I'm doing like, you know, posting stuff to the web for the few clients that could get on the internet,
yeah.
And like view QuickTimes, making DVDs, which was DVD
basically
Studio
just
Pro.
Machine
I knew,
room, yes.
Yeah, just like machine room tape dubs, which was like, I'm not like. When we used to do those Roadrunner campaigns,
oh, God,
we used to do these Roadrunner campaigns where there was maybe four
or
five
Road
different
What's Roadrunner? What's Roadrunner?
So Time Warner Cable,
internet, yeah.
So they would do these massive campaigns where like, all right, we're going to do like five commercials, five 30-second commercials where it's like live action, people shot on green screen, composited in with like Looney Tunes-y type graphics.
They were crazy.
And they were like tons of work. And then they not only that, but they would want to do like – 8 or 10 different versions of each one because there's different markets.
What?
Like, so there's like speed claims, like, oh, up to 100 megs down. Then they have to do another one that's like up to 60 megs down, up to 30 megs down, except that's like 10 times
But it's all the different
point.
Regions.
Exactly.
Yep.
So but at the end of the day, the tape that we output had like, I think one time I did a tape that had 81 different commercials on it.
Oh my God.
And my job in the tape room was to watch every single one of them and like make sure that they all had the right stuff on them. Like I was like the last line of defense to something going out wrong, you know? So I'm like
basically,
watching down this.
Other people, higher ups didn't do their job.
It was
his fault that he missed it.
And you know what? Like I know now that like when you're working all night and you're doing crazy stuff, sometimes you miss stupid little details like a phone number. You know what I mean? And I don't think at that time I ever thought it was bad either. I always felt good when I found something because I was like, oh, I'm making a difference.
Yep.
Like, I didn't just watch 81 commercials for no reason.
Let me call this animator right now.
Remember those times when we felt like we made a difference in the commercial industry?
It's always like at 3 a.m.
You're the only one that's awake. Like, yeah, I'm young.
wait, oh, I don't have to re-render. I can just render this and then go home.
Yeah. Anyways, keep
going. So that was the last, so I would do all that stuff. And then, so I don't know if we're getting back around to the...
Basically...
That's why I did the tape machine.
The tape machine. So basically, what we're going to end this podcast on is like...
Wait, are we ending already?
No, we can't be ending
No,
yet.
No, we're getting close to ending. We're getting close to ending.
Okay.
We can't be ending yet.
Well, yes, we are.
I feel like we haven't even talked about our main subject yet.
No, we haven't.
We just started. Yeah, so we got to move on the spontaneous.
No. I think we're gonna bring Chase back. Chase is great, right?
I'm a local. I could be the fallout. Like anytime someone has to cancel last minute, you're just like Chase. Are you around?
I'll open the window. Ka-ka! And then that means you run down.
We could actually do the whole interview via like a. courier pigeon or something.
So again, Chase and I met 10 years ago. Chase and I met 10 years ago at Spontaneous. He was in the machine room. I was the senior designer. I didn't know anything. We will continue with just those stories of Spontaneous, which was we're supposed to do today.
What? We're ending it now?
Yeah, we're gonna. But
wait, seriously, we're
gonna? Yeah, we're gonna end it. Okay. We're gonna end it. So this is Dave.
I'm Horace.
This is NSTS
podcast number
6.